People let me tell you about my best friend. She's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People let me tell you about my best friend. She's a one-boy cuddly toy, my up, my down, my pride and joy. People let me tell you about him, he's so much fun. Whether we're talking man to man or whether we're talking sun to sun.
Today. It's a Traumedy podcast, everybody. Welcome back to another fantastic special episode. This was actually a ton of fun. I've been trying to find an excuse to bring this guy on, and the opportunity presented itself, and we both chomped at that old bit like California Chrome in the first Kentucky Derby. Not in that bullshit where she just flopped. Is it a she or a he? I have no idea. Look, I try to pretend like I know what I'm talking about here, but it doesn't matter. Truth is, the guy who bet on Cal Chrome is on the podcast today. Won a little bit in the first race. Second race didn't do so well. K. Sarah Casera. He's cool with it. He is a stud. I'm talking none other than my broham, Rye Guy, Ryan Allen. Ryan just came on. We were over the house at my parents' house, and we were going to do one with my dad for Father's Day. And he found a way to sidle his way out of it. He said he had I got a car show to go to. Sorry, son. I'd love to do the podcast, but we're showing a 1907 Prescott steam engine. It's got white rubber tires. Not even vulcanized, but this is the way two firefighters work on cars. We got our hot rods, but then we got our passion projects, and that's the Prescott. For some reason in this story, my dad sounds like a redneck Sam Elliott. I don't even know why that's happening. Why? I can't go out and fight those cowboys. I want to go build my house, raise a family. That's how my dad's going to sound on the podcast until he comes on. Anyway, Ryan and I were sitting around, and I kept hounding him, and he said, "All right, I'll do it with you." Because really, I have been trying to get everybody on this podcast that has some kind of emergency-related background. And Ryan used to work for Tiburon. I went and volunteered while he was already full-time. But before that, he had been an Army Ranger. He'd spent 4 years in the military, and I wanted to get into all of that. So we had an interesting talk about. We were going to start talking about the fire department and then his leaving the fire department to go seek employment abroad, and we briefly touch on that today. But I'm going to have him on again, and I just wanted to establish the foundation, the bedrock.
That is Ryan Allen. Hello and welcome back. My name is Ryan Allen. I'm a really cool dude. Everybody listen up. Cool dudes on the air. And he is. He's a fucking stud, dude. There's no way to get around it. The guy, he goes after what he wants, and he doesn't let fear stand in the way. And it's a model citizen. It's something that we can all strive to do, and I appreciate it. And I try and emulate it. You know, that's it, right? You did it, man. You showed me how to do it. So, thanks for coming on, and dude. Look. I love him, man. But I just wanted to say, if you guys are interested in the Traumedy podcast, make sure you're telling your friends and your family about it. What say we do a couple of family-related podcasts? It starts reminding you of you and your family. You start thinking, hey, that's right. They're pretty awesome people. Let's have a barbecue. So that's what I'm trying to shoot for. I want you guys to all barbecue out with your family, just like we did. And remember, you can tell your friends, family, Stitcher, iTunes, 5 stars, www.traumedypodcast.com. Go on and just get the word out. It's looking good. I haven't been back to the iTunes site in a few weeks, so I don't know what's going on there, if we have any more rating changes. But again, I'm having a ball doing this, and
it really is it's an inspiration to meet dynamic people and get a chance to talk to them and just find out what made them the way they are. And the more and more you talk to them, the more it's just an ongoing process of, for them, conquering fear, pushing forward, never settling for something, and living in the moment and appreciating what you have, gratitude. And that's right. So I wanted to thank Ryan again. Thanks, buddy. And I will we'll be on doing it again. I know I keep saying, oh, I'll get you back on. It's just because I keep finding all these other people. But definitely Ryan's coming on for another episode. So without any further ado, Ryan Allen. Drumming Podcast, very special edition. Ken Allen coming with you. Oh, guess who's here? Guess who's here, everybody, everybody, everybody. My brother, Ryan Allen. Everyone, welcome to the podcast. You've heard about him. You've heard tales. You've heard things in and out. Now we're here and we're live and we're sitting in my parents' house while they're gone. We came by for Father's Day and my dad decided to up and leave to do his own thing. And so now I'm drinking coffees and we're trying to think of, we're going to talk about when we worked at Tiburon first. And then just see how this thing goes. Ryan, what's up, dude?
How's it going?
It's good, Dan. It's good. All right. Let's just get into you, actually. This is an interesting move. Can we talk sure. about that
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah.
Firefighter in Tiburon. After you got out of the military, Army Ranger, decided that, how far back can we go with this? There's so much to talk about now I think about it.
We can go into my construction. My amazing construction.
You worked history. Momentarily working for construction with us. That was a fucking fiasco in BOC, and he almost cut his fucking thumb off.
Yes.
And, yeah, you were nail puller, basically.
Yeah, I was not very good. I dug digits.
But, okay, here's the thing.
Not a lot of skill involved, my part.
There's skill. You just got to work your skill up from lumber coordinator to, you know, someone who can hammer nails into sheetrock, into plywood.
Well, yeah.
And then you work your way up from that to basic framing to stucco, and stucco, lather, plaza all the way up, finishing the crown molding, and then mm-hmm. you're building Lazy Susans. Mm-hmm. I thought that I was squared away, getting out of high school, going directly to a 4-year university. I was going to be kicking ass. Ryan was not so much an academic, although you always had a way of somehow getting other people to get the work done for you when the time is necessary.
That's like Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer is very Tom Sawyer. It's just like in construction, I'd find you just kind of opening doors and directing people that were carrying the refrigerator through the house. It's like, no, come this way, guys. I got this. I'm the foreman. Put it over here in the corner. No, let's put it over here. That's a skill. That is a skill to be able to convince other people, manipulate other people.
Yeah, I guess
into
so.
Doing your bidding.
Yeah,
that's very Trum. And so Ryan, but then you came down. I had spent 1 year in college, and Dad called me up and said, "You got to get this fucking kid to go to school. You got to get him down here. Please, just come down." And Ryan, I think you said, "Yeah, Santa Barbara sounds pretty awesome."
I said, "Okay, sure." I remember I came down and visited you with Sean McDonald and.
Oh, that's right.
I remember we took the train down, and because I didn't want to go to college, and so they were begging me to go, at least try it out. So we went down there, and we had a good time. We're like, okay, I'll try it out for a year, see what it's all about and all that. And
yeah.
Yeah,
it didn't. And then, so you came down.
So, yeah. So then I started, because you were off, because the city college started a couple, like a month or two before you guys started up. So yep. I was living in the house.
That's right.
And Sean Gregory. We're allowed to say names here, right? I guess.
I mean, you can say whatever you want. Sorry. Get up on the mic, right?
Sean Gregory moves down there with me.
Yeah.
Moves me in.
Yeah.
And every night, our day basically consisted of waking up, because he stayed down there for about a week with me. Consisted of waking up. I think we'd go work out. Then we would start watching Seinfeld. Then we'd watch Braveheart. And then we'd go to the bars.
Okay.
Well, we go to one. It was the Isla Vista Brew Company or whatever.
Bruca.
Yeah, because Sean...
And the old B of A Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
Because you had fake IDs or what?
No, Sean did. Sean had one, I guess. And then I'd pick up like a glass or something off the...
You were fucking Spalding it?
I guess.
Just grab people's like half finished?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess it was something like that. But.
All right. And you didn't stay down there a year. You basically...
No, then halfway through the semester, I joined the Army.
Joined the Army. Yeah.
Which I was kind of planning on doing. I mean, that's all I wanted to do anyways in the first place. And then...
He used it as an excuse to get out of the house, so you had no pressure of anybody saying, no, you can't go in.
Yeah,
pretty much. That was good. I mean, do what you got to do to get what you want. That's the key. And I thought, okay, great. And then I came out, you know, and, I had been in college, you had finished 2 years of Rangers, 2 years of regular infantry. All right.
Yeah. I started off, I enlisted and I went to, Fort Benning for my training and then, which is in Georgia. Yep. And you do your basic training and your infantry school all in one spot. At least we did back then. I don't know what they do now. And then after that, I get shipped over to down the road to airborne school and got done with that. And then I got assigned to 82nd Airborne in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Cool. I was there for a little while, and about a year and a half. And then I got a transfer to go to 2nd Ranger Battalion. So I did that up in Fort Lewis, Washington.
Yeah, that was pretty easy, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was great, yeah.
Dude, all right, here's what I'm thinking. We could talk about the Army. We could talk about Army for the first part, all the way up through Army, and then we'll finish with you leaving Tiburon to go do what you ended up doing.
Okay.
And that'll be a second part.
Okay.
That's a good little move. Okay, so, because people are interested in this, not just emergency caregivers, but I'm going to have on a guy that was pararescue. He was supposed to
interview
today, but I forgot the recorder, so we're going to do it next week. So, tell me about some trials and tribulations in Ranger School, if you want to get into it. I know it wasn't the easiest thing, and I think, you know, people want to know about, like, the hard parts and how you overcome it, or, you know, dealing with remediation, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Ranger School was really terrible. It was pretty much, I mean, I didn't enjoy any of it. It was just long, and majority of people are, you know, get recycled through phase or something like that. And I ended up getting recycled the first phase. And it was kind of a crushing blow because that kind of thing, it hadn't never happened to me before. And
so what did you get recycled on? Are there different phases of it?
Yeah, it was the first phase. So what happens is you have to do, God, you know, remember, I'm stretching back here like a long
time. This is what you're 19, 20?
This is, yeah. So I was, I think I was 21. So.
Well, this is before or after?
14 years ago, you know.
Okay.
You have to do these patrols. You know, you start off, you're in what they call in garrison, and you're learning, you're going to these classes, you're not getting a lot of sleep anyways. And they're smoking the dog shit out of you. Like, just every chance they can, they're just hurting your body completely. And so you're not eating much. You just don't like being there. It was hot when I got there. I think it was in July. End of July or something, and in Georgia. I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
This is Fort Benning, Georgia?
Yeah, Fort Benning in July.
Yeah.
But it's not fun. It's it's pretty much like the worst climate, I think, in the world, because it's really hot and really humid. It's not like Hawaii humid. It's like terrible humid.
It's like the devil's underpants.
Yeah, it's like really sweaty, stinky. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you're just dealing with the stresses, you're tired, you're not eating, you know, you're beat up. And then when you go out into the field for depending on which phase it is, there's a certain amount of days you go out. Gosh, I can't remember. I can't remember if you go out there and if it's a two part. I think it's maybe just one part now. But you go out for I think it was like a 4 day or 5 day field exercise, and during that time period, you maybe, I think you probably only
hold on to this thing if you keep talking. Just get louder. You're breaking into it.
Sorry,
it's very good, and I like it where it is. Talk into it if you're going to be that low.
But when you're out in the field, you only maybe sleep like an hour a night or something along those lines, you know, because you're doing your patrols and they give you little missions and you go do it. And then when you get done, you have to go back to a certain area and you have to find like a patrol base to set that up. And then everybody's there and then you're falling asleep and everybody else is falling asleep. And if people fall asleep, if you're in a leadership position, people fall asleep, you can fail your patrols. Or if you just didn't get your target on time, you fail a patrol. So there's all these different ways for you to fail. And so the first phase, I think I had one chance in a leadership spot and just everything went really bad. And so I got recycled. And
I thought, didn't you blow up a superior officer at one point through a flashbang inside a room that the guy was in?
No.
They weren't in the simulation?
No. That was something else.
That was a different time.
That was not a training exercise. That was something totally different. That was it was stupid. It was,
I thought that.
And we didn't throw a flashbang down there, I don't think. We just came down and it was it was the team, the enemy team that had already been killed. They're just standing there and we go down and we're like, oh, we clear the room. And that was funny, but
all right.
No, it wasn't anything like bad. No. So, where was I?
So you failed out the first round.
Yeah. I didn't pass the phase. So you get recycled. And they put you in something called the gulag. And
sounds awesome.
It was great. So you're a holdover. Uh-huh. And you have to wait for the next class to come through to get to that phase. Fuck. So in the meantime, you are doing yard work.
Awesome.
And just any little task that the ranger school cadre wants you to do. But the good thing is that you get to eat in that time period. So you actually... You go to the chow hall and you get to stuff yourself literally to the point of people throwing up because you're so hungry.
Holy shit.
That you just eat, and then you go back and you have maybe an hour for lunch. So then you hurry up and eat everything and then you go back to your bunk and you just lay there and you're just in agony because your belly is so small. It became so small that, you know, and you're trying to eat so much to try to make up for everything. It's just hurting. It was pretty ridiculous.
Holy shit.
So then you get back in with the next group, and then you go on with that class, you know, depending on if you get recycled. I had a guy in my, after I was all done with Ranger School and everything, and I was back at my battalion, I had a guy who was in Ranger School for 9 months. Oh. He just kept getting recycled.
How long is it usually?
It's like 3 months.
Oh, God.
So he just kept getting he just kept getting recycled over and over again to different phases and all these other things. And so, but the thing is, you just, you know, you don't quit. And so you just finally, eventually, you know, get everything works out for you. And so he finally did and he got done. So that's good. But I mean, it's pretty crazy. I couldn't even imagine being there for that long. So,
yeah.
So
you just got to do it and get out.
Yeah. And then after that one recycle, then everything went pretty smooth. You know, I guess for the rest of the school, I mean, it was terrible. Like mountain phase was pretty cold, but it wasn't even the wintertime. I don't know how the guys do it in the wintertime, but, it got pretty cold a couple nights to where they let us build fires and everything.
Really?
Yeah. And I graduated in like November. So November 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it was like in October, stuff like that. So. October up in the mountains. It's pretty chilly.
So they have you just reading maps, hiking through the mountains, finding coordinates?
Yeah, so they give you, it's a leadership school, so you're learning.
Okay.
You're learning how to do, like, warning orders, operation orders, you know, basically to plan missions and go. You start from you're given a mission, you plan it, all the way down to the very end of it.
What's that mean? Like, you and your team have to get to this spot and deploy claymore,
yeah.
like
you yeah, you're going to do like an ambush and things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, but that's it's kind of an all-day affair. I mean, it's, right. it takes a long time to plan everything and to give the briefings and all that, and then you're out. Everybody loads up and you start moving out and hit your objective at a certain time, and then you get out of there.
How long have you been in the woods at this point when they start giving you objectives?
Oh, it's from the very get-go. As soon as you've been out there, you just start. Day after day, you're out there doing.
Every day. Like yeah. there's a new objective every day.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not.
And there's new leadership positions. So there's two. There's right. So every day. So there's a planning phase, and then there's the operational phase. And so you can either be in a leadership position for the planning or the operation.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. That actually sounds like fun. If it weren't for the fact that you're not eating or sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. And then just yeah. And then every night everybody's getting lost. So they're having to stop. It takes forever to go somewhere because. At nighttime, everybody's a zombie, and then you just keep getting lost down these small trails and everything.
So, what's that all about? It's called droning, you told me. Can you talk about that?
Where you're just so tired, you start hallucinating.
So, you're basically walking in your sleep?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Literally in your sleep walking, and you're fucking losing it.
Yeah.
Tell me about your droning experience.
So, this one time, I had a couple that were, well...
Couple.
I was having some.
Couple.
I had a few.
And, okay.
But like some of them that yeah. kind of stand out that I still remember today were, I got, it's really, so everyone takes turns on guard duty at night. And there's usually, it's like 50-50. Half of the people are up, half the people are down sleeping. So I got woken up. And one of the problems is you're so tired that a lot of times you'll be like, oh, I'll just sit here and I'll pull security on a knee, or I'll be laying down.
Oh, right.
And you don't stay awake. You just fall asleep. So
of course
I was like, okay, I'm gonna stand up this time, and I'm gonna make sure you know that I don't fall asleep, because it sucks. You know, you can't help it. You just fall asleep. So I'm standing up, and the guy woke me up, and he's like, okay, you good? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I jumped up, and I'm standing up. I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I'm standing there, and I'm hanging out, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe it. Like, okay, I mean, I keep looking at my watch, like, okay, this is good, okay, I can make it this next hour or so, you know. I can't remember how long we had to do it for. And I hear something ahead of me, like out in front of me and outside the patrol base. And I'm like, oh man. I was like, oh no, they're gonna like attack us right now? Like, this is not cool. Like, oh man, I can't believe this. So I'm like sitting there, and I only hear one person, you know.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's like a deer or something, you know. So, like looking, trying to see what's going on, peering out there, and it's and the woods in Georgia are pretty thick, and so I just all of a sudden like this other cadet like just magically appears like out of the woods. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing out there? And he goes, what do you mean? I'm like, why are you outside the patrol base? He goes, hey, you're looking into the patrol base. I was like, shit. So the whole time I've been shit. Tried to turn around. Totally like embarrassed. Like, yeah. So the whole time I've been sitting there facing the wrong way.
Oh shit, that's awesome. Oh,
man, this is ridiculous. So but I mean, everybody does little funny things like that. I had another time when I was up in the mountains in Georgia for mountain phase. We're walking, so we're walking single file, and we're on this, you know, just some fire road or trail. I can't remember, but it was just pitch black, and all you really see is you kind of see an outline of the guy in front of you a little ways. He's a little bit in front of you, and they have these little cat eyes, these reflective glow-in-the-dark eyes on the back of their hats. And so you're just kind of walking along, just staring at those eyes.
That's creepy.
And just, yeah, it's pretty weird.
It's like, what, eyes on me?
Yeah, you just see these little eyes just kind of bouncing and bobbing. Yeah. And so you just follow those.
Right.
So I'm standing there, and then I'm like, we came up on, a lot of times we'd fill our canteens out of, they have these springs, like mountain springs that feed out. If you go like on Mount Tam and things like that, I think you come across
like the too. Troughs.
Yeah, it's like it'll just start trickling. They'll have like a little thing set up where it'll trickle out, and then there'll be like a catch basin.
Right.
So they had stuff like that up there in the mountains, and so we would sometimes stop, and they let you know we do a whole fill up, and then you put your bleach drops, your iodine tablets, in and let it sit for a little while. So this time, for some reason, there was a guy, like an instructor, who had a duffel bag, and he had a bunch of these 2-quart canteens, and he was handing them out. So everybody was marching up to it, and we'd go, and he'd hand you a canteen, you keep going down, you know, keep walking. So I was waiting my turn to get up to the guy, and, you know, it was kind of slow. We were kind of backed up, so I'm just kind of, you're taking like 1 or 2 steps at a time and stopping and then waiting and then go and this and that. So when I got up to him, I turned to my right to grab my canteen, and there was nobody there. So I had been completely imagining this entire thing. And I looked ahead of me, and the guy, the closest guy to me into my front was, I don't know, like probably like 20 yards away. And I'm like, oh my God, no. So I think I told the guy behind me, I'm like, we got to catch up, you know, that way I didn't just take off and leave him. And so we start, you know, had to close the gap, but it was just a complete hallucination from not sleeping. And
it's
just weird what your mind will do to you.
Fucking crazy, dude. I love it. Those are good stories. But you ended up getting through it despite all that. They just assume that that's the case. You're just going to, people are going to go and lose it. It's just how far you can.
Yeah.
Just how far you can push that and like still maintain some kind of sanity.
Yeah. Just trying to work through it. I mean, everybody does it. Everybody hallucinates. And everybody like goes totally crazy. But it's like you just, yeah, it's just a matter of, I guess you just keep going. I mean, you know. We had one guy quit one time, and we were up, and this was up in the mountains, and he quit. He just said, they were going to have him do something. He just said, he was like, Sergeant, I quit. That's right. We were about ready to move out to go do one of the missions. And he was like, I quit. And the instructor said, okay, we'll get your shit on. Let's go. And he said, no, I quit. And he goes, what do you think? We're going to fly a fucking helicopter in here to come pick you up? You need to hike out of here. You're coming with us. And so, kind of.
It's like, well, either way, you're fucking doing it, bro.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care. You're fine, you quit, but you're still going to have to hike out of here. You have to put on your rucksack and get out of here.
That's fucking awesome.
So, yeah.
Did he quit when he got back?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had quit. He had quit, and that was it. They're like, that you're done.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's nuts. It is just like to see how far they can push you. Like, basically, if you stay with it, like you said, like, if you don't quit, if you just keep recycling, you can get through it.
Yeah, a lot of times. Quit. A lot of times you can. A lot of times, they put like a limit on how many times you can recycle from a single phase type of thing. So that way, they don't just have somebody who's just totally not. He just can't hack it. You know, it's like, but they allow you a certain amount of recycles and things like that. And it's pretty interesting.
So going through all that, being in the woods, not sleeping. I mean, do you feel alone? Or do you feel like you're with this team at this point? Like, how are you getting through the emotional part of fucking just wasting away and not sleeping?
You have, you try to look for like try to look towards the good things. So we have a ranger buddy. So your ranger buddy is someone who is responsible for you and you're responsible for them. And, you know, you express some of your, you know, your worries to them, I guess. Like sometimes when your morale is real low. So I had one guy who was a second lieutenant. He was my ranger buddy. And so, and he had been through ranger school before, and I think he had failed out, and then he came back and he was doing it again. And so he would tell me about, this was like second phase. Is this mountain? It may have been mountains. I can't remember. So he was telling me about, these things called the dog X. So at the very end of each phase, you have a dog X, and it's a hot dog party. So you get like a bagged lunch.
Yeah.
With like, you get hot dogs, and you can eat as many hot dogs as you want. Like you just have to tell them how many hot dogs you want, like prior to doing it. So some people like really overdo it, and they're like, I'll take 10 hot dogs. And they're like over in the corner throwing up and everything. It's so gross.
Overdid it, man.
Yeah. So it must be very comical to be a ranger instructor. Whenever I would get real low, I'd be like, hey, I'd go like crawl over to him and be like, hey, tell me about the dog accident.
He'd be like, you get a Snickers bar. I'm like, really? Like a real, like a full Snickers bar, not like one of those little bite-sized ones? No, you get like a real one. Okay, what else? I mean, you get to pick any kind of chips you want. Yeah. And you get like any hot dog, and however many hot dogs you want. Oh, that sounds so good. And so that would like cheer me up for just a little bit, just enough, you know, to distract my mind. And
right.
So you just do little stupid things like that. Now they're not like we used to smoke or chew tobacco. You were allowed a certain amount.
Yeah.
But they don't allow that anymore. It's, they figured out, the Army figured out, that the majority of people who, when they joined the Army and they started chewing or smoking,
yeah,
it happened at Ranger School.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so they said, oh, we can't. Right. I think I was like the last class that was allowed to do it, thank God, yeah.
Huh.
And so that little tiny bit of you know, something.
Packing a chew.
Yeah, just that would help you. It was, yeah.
It quills your appetite a little bit, I think.
Well, I was like, if you had the leaf, the actual chewing, you know, leaf.
Like Red Man?
Yeah, I would swallow that. I'd swallow this. Yeah, the spit is sweet. Yeah, so you'd swallow it and it's kind of burn a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it would burn and then go away, and it was sweet. So, and then you're getting like acid reflux. It was horrible.
Right, I mean, right.
It was definitely, the thing, it's funny, they say, oh yeah, Ranger School takes like 7 years off your life. But I don't know how they ever prove that, but they, you know, people say that. That's the legend. It takes 7 years off your life.
Well, it's like any ranger, maybe they went to combat afterwards and they died, so they look at the age of those who had died in combat versus the age of the ones that died. They make an average and go, 7 years.
I guess, who knows?
Who fucking knows? It's always 7 years. 7 years for cigarettes, 7 years for rangers. Always 7 years.
I guess.
Pick a number. I thought 7 was a lucky number. That's horseshit.
Apparently not in the military.
Not in life. Not in anything else. Craps? No. 7, you get crapped out.
Man,
7 sucks, man. It's a prime number, but aside from that, what have you done for me lately?
7 squirrels. 7 squirrels on a branch. Eating walnuts at my granddaddy's ranch.
You know the old song in the sea?
7's the key.
7's the key. So so you get through there, you get out. I came in, I remember when we picked you up at Fort Benning, me and Dad.
Yeah.
And we fucking went out that night, and you're like, we're done? This is my buddy. What was your buddy's name?
God, I don't remember now.
Dude, it was just some guy. Like, little, this is my buddy?
He was a little dude.
Yeah, I think so. You're like, first fucking place we're going, guys? Applebee's. Fucking full of Applebee's. Where food not only is on a plate, it goes three-dimensional. Just a fucking heaping wad of cheese, steak, and everything. We fucking ate there, and you're all, boom, next stop, Chevy's. We went to Chevy's, Applebee's, and like fucking Red Lobster. Like we rounded it off a little surf and
turf. All the crappy chain places,
And you're all, dude, I'm still hungry. Where are we going? 7-Eleven? I mean, Baskin Robbins? I'm like, where the fuck are you packing this away, bro?
that same guy, when we got back to our unit, he would order a large Papa John's pizza.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say actual name?
Yeah, that's right. We're sponsored by a competing pizza place as of yet.
Yeah. Papa John's, where? Eat fresh or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, what is it? I don't know. We'll see.
Right. Papa knows best. So he would order a large Papa John's, like pepperoni pizza. Then he'd go down to the chow hall, and he'd eat dinner at the chow hall. And then he'd come back. And it was just in time where his pizza would get there. And then he'd go upstairs and eat a large pizza.
Holy shit.
He gained, like, he was like a small guy, right? Mm-hmm. He was a real small, skinny guy. He started, like, getting all puffy and it was weird. Yeah.
Just, like, bloated, like, and sagged.
Yeah, it was, like, skin. So much sodium and all this other stuff. He just started getting, like, real, like he looked like he was, like, on prednisone or something.
Right.
And so then he finally, we were like, hey, man, you got to, like, back it off and take it easy. That's not how you come back from Ranger School.
Right, yeah. Don't start killing yourself after you get back.
Yeah, and I actually, I woke up at like midnight one time, like, because I still wasn't sleeping through the night. So I woke up and I was like, I woke up and I thought I was going to work or something. I don't even know what I was thinking. So I got up and I started shaving my head with my clippers. And I'm like, what the fuck? What time is it? And I look at the clock and it's like midnight. And it's like, oh man, I gotta go back to bed. So I went back to bed with a half-shaven head. Woke up in the morning, finished it off.
Like, what?
Oh my god! I just kind of like,
who came did this to me?
Realization. Oh man, what am I doing right now? Why am I up? Like, just kind of sleptwalking in there and started shaving my head.
So yeah, what the fuck? It was very. It took a little while to recover from it. Get start sleeping properly, and then I tried really hard to go back to eating properly right away. So that helped. Yeah.
Were you even eating meat at that point? You were like trying to do veggie or something.
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah, I was. I think it was vegetarian.
That's crazy, dude. A vegetarian ranger.
Yeah, I used to come my shit for that.
Yeah, I figured it.
I didn't do that in ranger school. I ate meat in ranger school, of course.
The vegetarian pussy. Yeah. It's good, though. Everybody. You made it through doing that. That's incredible.
Yeah, and then, like, the last part, before I got in the military, I started eating meat again.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot for the lawsuit was all about.
I did it for a little
while. Everybody talked about it. Oh, yeah, it's great. It's so good for you. You should try it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think we were eating more meat than we need to, but meat's good.
I know.
Pork chops taste good.
Bait tastes good.
So, you got out.
Mm-hmm.
Stationed in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Crushing it. Just living the dream up there. How was that?
Washington was a really good state. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good outdoor stuff, and, you know, it was fun.
Seattle.
It was a fun time, you know, you're young, you're driving up to Seattle and going out and everything, but everyone kind of knew that you're military, and so, you know, that was always kind of hard thing. You couldn't really get around it because you had a shaved head.
Right.
And everybody with shaved heads were in the military, and so, but, yeah, it was nice.
Or neo-Nazi.
Yeah, or neo-Nazi.
Okay. Not so many in Seattle, I guess. No. More military.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And, chemo. All right.
And, yeah. And then you came up and we moved out and we stopped off at Chico on the way home and
yeah,
said hi to our buddies. And
get the fuck out of here. Really?
It's got to be.
It's got to be FedEx.
It's right? FedEx.
Yeah, please. All right. One of the things I always thought was kind of indicative of you was you got out in October or November?
No, it was April 2002. April 1st.
April 1st, 2002. So you never got to 9/11.
No, I never got to go to Afghanistan. So the war had, I had already been.
That's what I meant.
I'd already been clearing the military when 9/11 happened. I was, had already said, yeah, okay, I'm not reenlisting. All my buddies were saying, yeah, we're getting out too, and all this other stuff. So I was in Germany when 9/11 happened, and so we were like, oh, well, okay, let's go do something, because we're like, we're already in Germany, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
So actually, instead, they sent 3rd Battalion to Afghanistan before us, and so, which was kind of strange.
Why? Yeah, did they say why?
I don't know. I think because, I mean, who knows? You know, the military, they do, they have their reasoning behind it, but probably because we were already forward deployed. We didn't have all the assets that we needed and all the stuff that we needed. And they probably felt it was easier just to deploy a unit from home, station with all their stuff, ready to go with what they have. So I'm sure it was something along those lines. And then, yeah. And so then, I was like, okay, well, I wonder if I can, like, just kind of reenlist, do like a year of reenlistment or just bump it a little bit. And they wouldn't let you do that. And all my friends just said, just get out. We're just getting out. So it's like, okay. So I ended up getting out, but I felt pretty guilty about it.
It's crazy.
And I kind of had problems with it. Once I got out, I got out and I kind of said, okay, well, I'll get out and maybe I'll go and I'll go in the Navy, or, you know, maybe I'll do like SEALs or something. I'll try that. I'll try something different too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I could be stationed in California and kind of be close to home and all that.
Hmm.
So I was thinking about doing that, and I was working construction at the time.
Yeah,
and so then I took an EMT class, and I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll just, you know, it's something good to have. I'll just take the class. So I took the EMT class and did a ride along with San Francisco Fire, and I thought, oh, hey, this isn't too bad. Everybody loves you, you know.
right.
So I thought, oh, maybe I'll try this. So I started, because I was kind of like wondering, trying to find what I wanted to do. I didn't really know. So I started, I signed up for the Santa Rosa Fire Academy, and then I started volunteering at Tiburon Fire Department. So that would be December of 2002.
Yeah, that was your volunteering there?
Yeah, so I started volunteering, and just going to the Fire Academy and you know, and whatnot, and I had the GI Bill, so I was getting some money from that. So I didn't really have to have a
another job at the time. And because, I mean, back then you can live off, like, what, you know.
You didn't need anything.
You're just, when you're young, you're just like, I don't have anything. I don't need anything. You know, just a little bit of money just to feed myself, and that's it. So
that's it, dude. Yeah. Bank account.
Yeah.
Fuck, I just make it out to cash, bro. Yeah. Weird, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Then I ended up getting a call on my day off, and there one of the guys from the department was like, hey, I guess apparently they're going to hire. You should put in your resume and see what happens. So I did, and I ended up just getting hired on with Tiburon. I was like, okay, cool. And
yeah,
I was working there. But this whole time, I was kind of, it was like kind of fight. It was like an inner struggle where I was like, you know, I really should be overseas. And then, especially when we went and invaded Iraq, I was like, man, I should really be over there. You know, I should really be taking part in history and everything that, you know, I'd spent most of my life looking and reading about and all this other stuff. So that was difficult. So I was always kind of torn. And so then what I did was I started looking at doing personal protection type stuff and looking at, you know, the contractors that are overseas and everything like that. Because some of the guys I was in the military with, they started doing that.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that's great. You got, you know, you make more money and you get to decide, you know, you're not like you're stuck in it. If you don't want to do it anymore, you don't have to do it anymore. So I was like, okay. So I went and I did a class with a company out of San Francisco. It was like a 5-day executive protection class. And so I did that. And in the class, I met a guy who was going, he was going to, you see, I think he had already gone to DynCorp. I think he went to their class. And so he gave me their information. So I said, okay, so this is... So I went there, and it was like a week long course, or a couple weeks, something like that. But all I know is I
training for them, or
just like training,
putting on classes.
Training for them, yeah. So the contract was the Baghdad contract was up for bid, and they're really sure they were going to get the contract. So they had to put all these guys, and they put them all through training so that way they could fill the contract. And so halfway through the class. You got paid for the class too, and I had taken all my vacation time too. I was like, taking everything up and just put it, you know, so I could go and do this. Mm-hmm. So halfway through the class, they tell us, hey, you know, Blackwater won the contract, so we don't have jobs for you, but we're going to let you finish the class. Mm-hmm. That way, you guys are qualified to go, and we will call you. You know, when we'll keep you on our list, and we'll call you when we have openings. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So, and from that class, I met another guy who was telling me about another company that was working that I could get a job with. So I ended up applying with them when I got back, and I heard back from them like after like a couple months, and they were like, yeah, do you want to come to the class and go through our qualification? And I was like, sure. So I ended up going to do that, and I passed that. There was, I think there was, hang on, how many of us passed it? It was like out of 20 people, there was like 4 of us that passed it.
Holy cow.
And it was scary because at one point they had me confused for another guy. And so they kept putting me, like every day they would put us in these groups. And so there was like A, B, and C group. And I kept getting put in C group. And all these guys I'd met there who I started becoming friends with, they all getting put in the A group. And so I'm looking at them like, hey, you don't think that this ABC group thing has anything to do with how good we're doing, does it? And they're like, no, no, man, not at all. And then I'm sure, like, behind my back, they're just going, yeah.
He's gone.
He's a goner. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So I got done with, I refer to myself as Alan, because I refer to myself by my last name when I'm doing things like that.
Yeah.
And there was another guy, and he would refer to himself as Alan because it was his first name.
Oh, shit.
So after one... After one of the evolutions, little training things, one of the instructors, who actually is a friend of mine now, who I ended up deploying with a whole bunch, he's a really nice guy, and so he pulls me aside and goes, what the hell is your name? And I go, Ryan Allen. He goes, you need to start telling people, separate yourself from other people that are named Allen. And I'm like, okay. So the next day I go up to group one, or group A or whatever, and
And then that's when everyone told me, oh, yeah, man, it definitely means something. We're glad you're up here. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So, when has C ever meant good?
Yeah, I don't know. So I was hoping, I'm like, man, what am I doing wrong? It seems like I'm killing this thing. So it was pretty funny. So I ended up, I had to wait for like a passport to come in, some other stuff to go through. And then as soon as that was done, they gave me a call and I just said, can you give me, they said, hey, we're ready. You're good to go. Can you come? And I said, you just got to give me 2 weeks. I got to tell my department.
Yeah.
So, I think I had gotten the phone call and I literally hung up the phone and I was working and I walked down to the battalion chief's office and I just said, hey, chief, do you mind if I talk to you? And I'm like, sure. So I shut the door, and he kind of looked at me like, what the hell is this all about? Like, that's weird. Like,
yeah, you don't normally shut the door.
I usually don't. Yeah, I usually don't have, like, serious conversations. Like
I have a seat, chief.
So just said, hey, I got a job working in Iraq, and I'm going to take it. And he was a little taken back, I think, like, because a lot of people don't quit the fire department.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
Yeah, it's kind of it was kind of weird. Everyone's like, no one quits the fire department. And, yeah. They'll go from one department to another. But, and then the chief came in and I talked to the chief and he just said, hey, he came in when he was off, and he drove in and just said, what's going on? I just explained to him, how I felt about not being there and just, I felt it was something I needed to do. And he was very supportive. He's just like, hey, I totally understand. Absolutely. No problem. And
it's awesome.
Yeah. There was no problems about it. And it was just something that I felt that I had to do. So.
Well, it's funny you say that. I remember two things where you were saying to me when we were leaving, you're like, we just went on like maneuvers the other day and it was like a week before you got out and you were humping down into a valley.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, artillery's like flying over your head, bursting on the side of a hill. And you're like, how can anybody not love this?
Yeah, that's right. I think we were out and we were doing, and the guys were shooting the Carl Gustavs, the Corliss rifles.
Yeah.
And they're just, they're hitting the sides of this objective and we're hiking down and you're just kind of like, you're quick walking, but you're not like just sprinting the whole time until you got close to the objective and it's dark and everything's just blasting and machine guns firing and everything, you just seeing the tracers and everything's, it's just in there's smoke, it's just smoky and there's just all this stuff and everything's just, the two guns are up on either side of the hills and they're just talking to each other, just blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
So they take turns and it's just, it's the coolest thing. I mean, it's like, seriously, it brings like chills to me, like thinking about it. And I was like, man, this is like the coolest thing in the whole world.
It's crazy that you think that way. Dude, very few people do, but when they believe it, they believe it.
Yeah. And you're like, and I knew I was going to miss it. And
yeah.
But I didn't know. I was like, I guess this is something new, like a new chapter in my life. I got to see what's up outside. See if I can handle it being a civilian and see what it's all about.
Well, yeah. And the other thing was, I remember you saying, you were bummed that you didn't get to go to Iraq. And I thought, what? You're out. You're not going to get killed. Like, this is the best. Like, why do you want to go back? He said, imagine training for something day in and day out for 4 years and wanting to do that since you were a kid and then getting there and then them saying, no thanks, you're not going to be able to do that. You just go home today. And you're like, that fucking sucks, dude. Like, yeah. We train all this and I never get a chance to do anything with it. So, I can see that. I get it. I just think it's an interesting thing that you actually feel like a guilt that you didn't get to go over there and do something with it.
Yeah.
So much so that you did end up going over.
Yeah.
We've been doing our time here. We're fucking zooming, bro. So you went over, and real quick, let's do that first story about flying into the... into Iraq for the first time.
Yeah, so...
Tigris and Euphrates River. Babylon. Of old. Tower of Babel.
Fertile Crescent.
Fertile Crescent. Yeah. Cuneiform. Go on.
I'm getting flown out to... So you go in... I go into to Baghdad and everything. And that's where all the airlines and everything fly in. And So then from there, you know, you get shipped out to your little areas, your little spots. So I caught a ride on a little plane. So I'm on this little tiny plane, and we're flying out to the different areas, and it is December of 2006. And the guy apparently across from me is my team leader, who he's coming back out to the base. And so, you know, I'm like, oh, this guy's my team leader. Okay, I got to, you know, make sure I seem like, you know, I'm squared away.
Is this the guy that you were in training with?
No, this guy, okay, this guy, yeah, guy. No, a different guy. Okay. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta be, you know, I gotta look squared away here, you know.
Right.
So we're coming in, this is a stop before our stop. So we're coming into this one spot, and it's kind of in like a valley. And so as we come down over the mountain range, we start dropping down into the valley, there's a lot of wind, to say the least. I'm not really too big on flying. I don't really like it.
All right. Yeah. And what kind of plane is this to begin with?
It's a small cargo plane.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're coming in, and we're sitting on like net seats, right? There's seats that are on the sides, and they're net.
Right.
So we're flying in, and we start kind of dropping down, and it's like boom, 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 you know, because you're just hitting so much wind, and we start coming in for the landing. And the pilots, they start crabbing like in, so they're turned. So if the runway's straight ahead, I'm trying to think how I describe this.
The runway's straight ahead of you.
Runway's straight
normally
ahead.
Normally, you'd want to be facing nose towards the.
Yes, the they're runway. Not there. So imagine it's straight in front of you. But the you nose of the plane.
Yes.
Is a 40. I think about 45 degrees pointed to the left.
To the left.
And we're still going straight towards the thing, but we're pointed the wrong direction and.
Yeah.
Our wings are tilted, so we're tilted. I'm trying to think. So I think we were
fuck.
So we were okay, so we were our wingtips were pointed towards on my side, the left side, excuse me, the right side. So we're pointing to the left. Our right side is tilted towards the runway, down at an angle, and we're going straight. I don't even know how that's possible. I don't understand.
Crosswind.
I'm looking out this little tiny porthole window thing. I'm holding on to the my rifle, and I'm just dripping sweat. And I'm looking over at the guy, you know, my dealer, and I'm trying to be cool about it, right? Like, okay, man, you know, if I die, I die. It's okay, you know? like in my head, this is all going on in my head. Like outside, hopefully, I'm like looking as cool as like as ice. I'm like, yeah, cool, man, whatever, you know. What happened? You know, if we roll, I don't care. But like really in my head, I'm like screaming, oh my God, are you kidding me? Why are you doing this? Why are the pilots even trying this, you know? And I'm looking at the crew chief, and he's holding on. I'm like, oh, the crew chief's holding on. That ain't good. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm like, this is not good. This is not how you're supposed to land a plane. And I later talked to a couple guys, and they told me, like who are actually pilots, and they told me, like, oh, yeah, you're into the wind, and then at the last second they spin it, they throw the nose down, and bam, they hit the ground, and it's okay. You know what I mean?
Sounds okay.
Yeah, right? And so I'm the whole time I'm sitting there just, well, this is how I'm going to die. This is how I'm going to die. I'm not going to die in some gun battle, some heroic thing or anything like that. I'm going to die in a stupid little plane crash in, you know, just this out here in the desert. Like, this is amazing. And,
oh, fuck, man.
And so they actually, they pulled off and they pulled away and they didn't land. And the crew chief's like, no, he like, you know, did like the hand across the neck. Like, no, we're scratching that. We're scratching that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, at least they have some sense. And he goes, we're going around again. We're going to do it again. And I'm like, oh, really? That's a great idea. Why not? Let's just do it again. We made it this time. You know, we got away. Let's chance it. So, again, the whole, oh, yeah, great. Now I'm going to die, definitely. I know I'm definitely going to die this time. And so we start going through it. We start doing the same thing again, you know, and all that. And I'm sweating, I'm sure, and everything. And then we ended up... They ended up pulling out again. They wouldn't land. They're like, nope, we're not doing it. It's too bad. So we ended up not landing. And so I was like, okay, thank God. So I was like, hopefully it's not like that where I'm going. So we ended up flying up to our base, and we landed. Everything was fine, and everyone met us at the runway and loaded everything up. And one of the guys is like, hey, he goes, you know, as the team leader, he goes, hey, how was the flight? How did everything go? He goes, well, we almost died. And, you know, over in so-and-so, and we were coming in pretty bad, and it was pretty horrible. And I said, well, like, hey, I'm glad you feel the same way. I didn't want to say anything, but I was a little nervous about that, making sure that's not like an everyday occurrence around here. He's like, no, that was pretty terrible. I'm like, okay, good. So we ended up becoming pretty good friends.
Oh my God, that's fucking awesome, dude. Yeah. So you land, and that's your first day.
It was my first day there. And then we went to, I think when we first got there, we went out to the range and shot some guns, and I thought, oh, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. This is fun.
Really?
Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah, it was fun. It was, we had a really good time.
Well, let's
good,
leave.
Good group of people and everything over there, and yeah, it was good. I worked with really good people.
We'll get into that later in later episodes, because I'd love to hear a little bit about that and what got me to go overseas was the fact that you're telling me, hey, man, they're looking for medics, man. Like, they got fucking nothing. You're like, I got EMT, and like, I'm the fucking doctor.
I'm like the person. That's pretty much what happened. I got there, and they just said, they're like, hey, so what did you do before this? You know, what were you? And I told them, you know, oh, I was an EMT for a fire department, and I'd been to, oh, that's the other thing. So I had been to paramedic school.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had already been to medic school.
A week before I deployed, I finished my internship, and I never took National Registry. So I had just finished paramedic school, and everything was finished up, and then I deployed a week later. And so I was like, yeah, and I just finished my paramedic internship and everything. They're like, okay, that's it. You're a medic. I was like, oh, okay. They're like, okay, go find us supplies and anything else we could use, and make like kits and everything. And okay. Fine. So that's pretty much how I became the team medic, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. And it's a great story. Well, I want to talk about it more later, but it's about an hour, and there's so much more to cover. We didn't even, all right, but for then, let's leave it at that. All right, thanks for coming on and talking about this. You want to do another episode?
Yeah, sure.
We'll do another episode coming up. When?
Whenever
you want. Let's do July or something.
Yeah, whenever you want to
do it. 4th of July.
Oh, hey, that's pretty good, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
It's Ken Allen signing off, saying if you got it, use it, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan, thanks again for coming on. High five. Pow. All right. Talk to you soon later.